from the Lynn de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It is the 6th day of May, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. We'll get an update of crop conditions across the states of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa, along with Minnesota from the statisticians in those regions. And then we'll hear from Joe Jansen, agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, about fringe acres and the impact they may or more likely may not have on corn yield. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too. We'll do that with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, whenever you'd like to hear us.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn in Chicago today settled at $4.55. That was a penny and a quarter higher. September down 2.5 cents at $4.30. And December futures $4.41, a penny and three quarters lower. July soybeans at $10.41, down 4.25. August 4.5 lower. And the November down 3. They settled at $10.19 for the soybeans in the new crop. Bean meal down $2.50. Bean oil 38 cents lower. July soft red winter wheat, the harvest month at 536, up 4.75. And the hard red July at 538, up 5.25. Here to talk about those numbers and much more is Naomi Bloom. She's at TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Good afternoon to you, Naomi. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Where would you like to start today? I hear there's some good news on the ethanol front.
Yes. So from DTN, we got a report that the U.S. Census Bureau was reporting about, you know, U.S. exports of goods and services today. DTN went on to say that from that news, the USDA said U.S. exports of ethanol totaled 195.8 million gallons in March for export. That number was up from 138.75 million in February. And actually, in 2025 so far, ethanol exports are running 19% ahead of 2024. Top buyers include Canada and the United Kingdom and India. So there was some good news there today. I think it was enough to help the corn market come back a little bit. We are oversold on all of those daily charts and July corn, December corn testing the uptrend line. And for the July contract, that uptrend line has been established since late August of 2024. So this is a big, important trend line to hold and maintain. And so now we're starting to, I think, you know, trade the reality that we know it's a fast planting pace out there for corn, but I think we have a whole lot of spring and summer weather to get through. We're oversold at this time on charts, and the market today, again, really defending that uptrend line.
Well, a couple of things I want to come back to, the planting pace in just a moment. But when you think about this ethanol set of sales in March, is that front loading in front of the proposed tariffs, or is it an actual increase in consumption?
You know, I'm going to say both, because when I look at who the buyers were, so Canada, front loading, probably so. But with the UK, I think that their demand in general has been increasing, and I love that India is buying from us. India, I think, has our potential to be a great trade partner. And so they, I think, are ranked 12th in terms of what they buy from U.S. agricultural products in the world. But they just have some more, I think it's a new market for us. So love, again, to see that we are sending ethanol to India. And we'll find out, of course, as we go along here in the coming weeks, if this is going to be a sustained pace of ethanol that's being exported, or to your point, if some of that was just trying to do front loading ahead of the tariff.
So then turn your attention to the crop progress report. Nationally, on pace with the five-year average at 40% for corn planting, 39% is the five-year average. However, Iowa and Illinois were below their five-year average, Iowa setting at 49%, not by much down there at 53% normally. Illinois off substantially, 32%. That's the second largest corn-producing state in the nation. 44% is the rolling five-year average. Will that catch up with the marketplace at some point? Or do you think that this week that farmers in both of those states, because of the good weather, will just turn the planters on and make up the difference?
Well, I do feel like with this week of better weather that Illinois will have an opportunity to catch up. But it had been so soggy there. And some parts of central and southern Illinois where it had been too wet had to do some replanting along with western Kentucky. So I think that they will catch up. But now it makes me think of a lot of that Illinois crop going to be pollinating now in the nastiest portion of summer and summer heat, whereas a lot of times they can skirt through it because they're able to plant early. So now we'll have some weather watching in Illinois a little bit later than normal because of the slower planting pace, but we'll see how much they can get done this week.
Just a minute left. Look forward to next Monday's World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report for me. What numbers will you be watching most closely?
Keeping an eye, of course, on ending stocks for old crop for corn. And we already know, and I think the market's pricing in not only the bigger acres, but a bigger yield number for corn, for new crops. So that's priced in. But one thing you really want to be aware of is that looking back at the last 15 years, when we are oversold, technically speaking, going into that report, that May WASDE report, a lot of times the market will find a low on that report day or within a week after and then start to rally higher. And the opposite would be true when we're overbought heading into that report. Then a lot of times we get an early summer high. So guess what? We are oversold on these grain markets heading into Monday's WASDE report. We are pricing in negative news in terms of higher yield. So we've got a lot of that priced into the market already, and we have zero weather premium in the market right now at this point in time. So I think that hopefully here the worst is going to be behind us, but we'll have to keep an eye on trade deals, of course. That'll be the thing to be watching as the week progresses as well.
Hey, thanks, Naomi. Naomi Bloom is with Total Farm Marketing. One quick news item for the day, the Oval Office meeting between President Trump and Mark Carney, the newly elected Prime Minister of Canada, proved informational today as it relates to a couple of items. The president suggesting a big news item would be coming out of his office on Thursday or Friday of this week, or possibly as late as Monday, and then quickly transition directly to trade.
We also have a situation, because everyone says, when are you going to sign deals? We don't have to sign deals. We could sign 25 deals right now, Howard, if we wanted. We don't have to sign deals. They have to sign deals with us. They want a piece of our market. We don't want a piece of their market. We don't care about their market. They want a piece of our market. So we can just sit down, and I'll do this at some point over the next 2 weeks, and I'll sit with Howard and Scott and with our great vice president, who has done a really good job. We have some good news to report on a lot of fronts, but JD will be there and Marco, and we're going to sit down and we're going to put very fair numbers down, and we're going to say, here's what this country, what we want, and congratulations, we have a deal. And they'll either say, great, and they'll start shopping, or they'll say, not good, we're not going to do it. And I said, that's okay, you don't have to shop. Now, we may think, well, they have a right, you know, that maybe we were a little bit wrong, so we'll adjust it. And then you people will say, oh, it's so chaotic. No, we're flexible. But we'll sit down and we'll at some point, in some cases, we'll sign some deals. It's much less important than what I'm talking about. For the most part, we're just going to put down a number and say, this is what you're going to pay to shop.
This is new information to this point. The president and the Trump administration across the board have said there will be trade deals negotiated. Mr. Trump backing away from that in the Oval Office earlier today. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 40% of the corn has been planted around the nation. The rolling five-year average is 39%. 11% of the crop has emerged. 9% is the five-year average. 30% of the soybeans have been sown. 23% the five-year average. And 7% of that crop has emerged. 5% is the rolling five-year average. About 39% of the winter wheat has headed across the nation. That's ahead of the 33% five-year average, and it's said to be in 44% good and 7% excellent condition. Those numbers, relatively speaking, are up from last week when it was in 40% good and 9% excellent condition. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Rebecca Alter, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. While some producers were able to get into their fields, precipitation continued to delay planting in many parts of the state. Topsoil moisture condition rated 3% very short, 9% short, 76% adequate, and 12% surplus. Corn planted reached 49%, 3 days ahead of last year, but 2 days behind the five-year average. Corn emerged reached 10%, 2 days ahead of last year's pace, and 3 days ahead of normal. 38% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, 1 week ahead of last year, and 2 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybeans emerged reached 5%. Pasture condition rated 60% good to excellent. No unusual conditions reported for livestock, although some feedlots remained muddy. And that's this week's report of crop progress and conditions across the state of Iowa. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
Hello, everyone. This is Brad Summa, director of the USDA NASS Heartland Region. There were 2.7 days suitable for field work in the week ending May 4th. Statewide, the average temperature was 59.2 degrees, which was 2.6 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged 1.29 inches, which was 0.33 inches above normal. Topsoil moisture supply is now rated at 1% very short, 9% short, 53% adequate, and 37% surplus. Corn planted has now reached 32% compared to the five-year average of 44%. And the corn emerged has reached 8% compared to the five-year average of 11%. Soybeans planted has reached 33% compared to the five-year average of 34%, and soybeans emerged has now reached 10% compared to the five-year average of 7%. Winter wheat headed reached 23% compared to the five-year average of 31%, and the winter wheat condition was rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 34% fair, 50% good, and 11% excellent. For the Illinois cattlemen, the pasture conditions was rated 2% very poor, 5% poor, 27% fair, 45% good, and 21% excellent. Again, this is Brad Summa, director of the USDA NASS Heartland Region, serving the farmers and ranchers in Missouri and Illinois. Have a great week, everyone.
This is Nathaniel Warnsky with USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. This week, Indiana topsoil moisture rated 93% adequate to surplus for the week ending May 4th. Subsoil moisture 84% adequate to surplus. Days suitable for field work were 3.8 days. Corn planting was 26%, close to the five-year average. Corn emerged was 6%. Soybean crop planted was 25%, 5 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Soybean emerged was 2%. Winter wheat jointed was at 64%, 12 percentage points behind last year and slightly behind the five-year average. Winter wheat headed was at 12%, 9 percentage points behind last year and slightly behind the five-year average. The crop rating increased to 69% good to excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 71% good to excellent. And that's this week's report of crop progress and conditions across the state of Indiana. I'm Nathaniel Warnsky for USDA NASS.
One other state to check in on before we finish up our review of crop progress across the Midwest with the statisticians. Minnesota farmers averaged 3.6 days suitable for field work in this past week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 3% very short, 14% short, 75% adequate, and 8% surplus. Corn planting in Minnesota was 44% complete, putting planting progress 2 days ahead of 2024. Soybeans were 22% planted, reaching that level 5 days earlier than a year ago. Both corn and soybeans were a day ahead of the five-year average. Pasture conditions in Minnesota rated 2% very poor, 5% poor, 43% fair, and 43% good, with just 7% in excellent condition. The theme music for the closing market report is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. Now, something just a little bit different. Joe Jansen, agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, has taken to YouTube with the 5-Minute Farm Docs to explain fringe acres and how they impact yield. I think you'll find his telling interesting.
I'm University of Illinois agricultural economist Joe Jansen, and this is a 5-Minute Farm Doc. Today, we're tackling a hot topic in the corn market. Can we really have both massive planted acres and record yields this year? There's a common belief that when farmers plant more corn, they have to use lower quality fringe acres that drag down the national yield average. But is that actually true? Let's dive into the data and find out. So here's the situation. Corn prices have been getting a boost lately because old crop ending stocks are tightening up. But looking ahead, the USDA confirmed what everyone was thinking in March. They're expecting farmers to plant about 95.3 million acres of corn this year. And some analysts think the number could go even higher when the next report comes out in June. On top of that, USDA is predicting a national yield of 181 bushels per acre, which would be almost 2 bushels higher than last year's record. But wait, can we really have both? Does planting more acres mean using lower quality land that produces less corn? Well, let's talk about what we mean by fringe acres. When farmers plant more corn than usual, they have two options: either switch acres from other crops like soybeans on land with the same yield potential as is typical for corn, or plant corn on land that wouldn't typically grow corn because it yields less than average. These lower yielding lands are what we call fringe or marginal acres. The conventional wisdom says more fringe acres should lead to lower national average yields. But what does the data actually show? Well, I analyzed corn acreage over the last 100 years, and it's quite a journey. Identifying fringe acres is a little bit difficult because where and what constitutes the fringe has changed over time. We actually used to plant over 100 million acres of corn in the United States before the 1930s. Acreage fell until about 1970, stabilized for a couple of decades, and then jumped sharply in 2007 when the ethanol mandate kicked in. Since 2007, we've been averaging about 91 million acres of corn in the United States, with a slight upward trend. This means this year's projected 95.3 million acres are about 3.8 million above what we'd expect from trend. That's a lot of potential fringe acres. Even in years when corn acreage was similar to what we're expecting in 2025, yields have been both above and below trend. The data doesn't support the idea that more acres automatically means lower yields. But wait, what about regional differences? Doesn't it matter where the corn is planted? Well, I looked at Great Plains states from North Dakota down to Texas, typically considered the fringe, where yields run 20 to 40 bushels per acre below the national average. Corn acreage in these states has been steadily increasing by about 400,000 acres per year since 1990. Meanwhile, acres in the traditional Corn Belt have stayed comparatively flat. Even with the shift towards more acreage in traditionally lower yielding regions, national yields have continued their upward trend. When I specifically analyzed whether above-trend acreage in the lower Great Plains correlates with lower national yield, I again found basically no relationship. Less than 1% of the yield variation can be explained by Great Plains acreage shifts. So what's the takeaway here? Well, weather is still king when it comes to yield. Those year-to-year swings in yield have much more to do with growing season conditions than with how many acres get planted and where. That means that USDA's trendline yield estimate of 181 bushels per acre is still perfectly reasonable, even with big planted acreage. Assuming normal weather, we're likely looking at corn inventories climbing back above 2 billion bushels by the end of the 25-26 marketing year. Without a major surge in demand, which seems unlikely in the current economic environment, this level of corn availability points to prices closer to long-term averages. Current new crop futures are trading around $4.50 a bushel, which is actually slightly above that long-run average. So there you have it. The data show that big acreage and big yields can absolutely go together. The conventional wisdom about fringe acres dragging down yields doesn't hold up when we look at historical evidence from national yield data. If you have found this analysis helpful, check out the full article on FarmDoc Daily and subscribe to the FarmDoc YouTube channel for more data-driven agricultural market insights. This has been a 5-Minute FarmDoc. I'm the University of Illinois' Joe Jansen.
Again, if you'd like to learn more from the FarmDoc team through the 5-Minute FarmDoc programs, and there are several new ones posted there, it's easy enough to find them on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/@, that's the at sign, FarmDoc. That's youtube.com/@FarmDoc. Don Day now joins us from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, to talk about the forecast for the growing regions of the United States. Hi, Don. Thank you for being with us. It appears after what was a wet weekend here all the way through yesterday in my part of the world, and I think to the south and east of here, that farmers at some time this week will be able to get back into the field. Talk a little bit about that and then work your way back to the western Corn Belt and tell me about conditions there too.
Yeah, we've been in a little bit of a unique weather pattern here for the last week. We call it an omega block, where you get an area of low pressure that will set up in one part of the country, have a big high pressure to the west of it, and then to the west that high pressure is another low pressure. And you get a pattern like this because it looks like the Greek sign omega, the way the jet stream goes up and down. It's a blocking pattern. So what happens is you kind of get stuck. You'll get a one pattern that can be very, very stubborn. And certainly the pattern was stubborn this past weekend, bringing the wet weather into a lot of the central and eastern Corn Belt. That block is going to slowly break down here over the next couple of days. And what we'll see now is a trend, especially in the northern, northwest Corn Belt, central Corn Belt areas, a drier trend. We're still going to have rain, quite a bit of it, over the Delta, over the south central. Florida will be picking up some beneficial rain. A little bit of that rain could get into the far eastern Corn Belt, but nothing like what we've seen here over the last week or so. So there's going to be some opportunities for drying conditions, especially the central and northwest areas of the Corn Belt.
And then in those western parts of the Corn Belt, do you have concern at all that dry conditions will return there? I don't know how much rainfall and subsoil moisture levels they have at this point as we make our way through the month of May and into June.
Yeah, I certainly am concerned. When we take a look at Nebraska, we take a look at central, northern, and western areas of Iowa, up into Minnesota and Wisconsin, this blocking pattern we've been in is directing storms away from there. And we see another pattern, sort of similar to what we just saw, might develop, let's say, 10 days from now. So the trajectory of weather systems is going to stay away from that northwest Corn Belt. And this time of year, they expect to get occasionally wet. So at least for the next 7 to 10 days, that northwest Corn Belt is not going to be getting much in the way of any significant rain.
Thank you much. I appreciate it, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online, on demand at WILLAG.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.